The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders for the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
At the beginning of this Advent season, we hear this prayer of Israel from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's a lament. They recognize that they have undergone, if you will, a type of spiritual famine. God's grace has been cut off from them, and it's not because God has cut it off, it's rather they have blocked it. They have gone after other gods, they have gone after other ways of life, they have sought other means to salvation, and in the midst of that, they found themselves lost. And so you hear this cry of Israel, "Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Don't let us keep wandering. Show us the true way to you." That's Israel's prayer, and that's the prayer that we have to keep in mind as we begin this new year. Are we wandering right now? Do we have a real direction? You have to ask yourself sometimes about that. Am I really directed in my life by God? Or have other things crept in the way? Other priorities, other needs. Have things displaced God? So much so that now when you pray, you don't feel any kind of prayer going on. You don't believe God's listening to you. You might not even believe God's present. That was Israel's prayer. But St. Paul tells us something quite different because of Jesus Christ. In a way, the letter of the Corinthians can be seen as a response to what the prophet Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was saying, "Lord, we don't have you." And St. Paul says, that's not true now. That in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he has made available to us our full spiritual inheritance. He has provided us with the gift of salvation. He has given us the opportunity to have new life. He has conquered death. He has given us grace. He has made this world now a world in which time is a holy thing. Time is sanctified. There's not a moment in our life when God is not trying to share his life with us, to shape our life as the potter into the life of Christ. There's not a moment that passes in that. And so St. Paul says clearly that with Christ, Israel's prayer has been answered. The heavens have been rent, and God has sent his Son to show us the path to salvation, because he is, Jesus Christ is, the path to salvation. His life, his words, his deeds, his ongoing presence in the church through the Holy Spirit is our true guide. And St. Paul says nothing should block us from that. And nothing from Christ's perspective is blocking it. His grace constantly flows into the world. What does block it, though, is our ability to see it, our ability to pay attention. And we do have trouble paying attention. Once, many times, we get something in our sights it takes a whole lot to shake us free from that. It became very clear yesterday, you know, it was kind of shocking in one sense, but in another sense, it wasn't shocking to hear that in Long Island at 5 in the morning, a volunteer worker opened up the doors to Walmart only to have the people not only break down the doors, but literally trample another human being to death in the sight of getting a better deal. To get their 20% off, that life is worth nothing. We're going to trample on him. And it became so bad that it was reported on both the TV and on the news sites that as people, other employees, tried to get to this guy, they too were equally trampled. They didn't care. They had no intention to watch that life because what was more important was some piece of junk that might last more than 20 minutes on Christmas Day. The bargain became much more. Talk about losing your vision on things. You know, the Inquirer reported that a couple days ago. Some people get that in their mind, this whole thing outside of themselves, and nothing will get in the way. And we see that ourselves happening all the time. We might not be willing to trample on human beings, thanks be to God, but we're willing to trample on our own values. We're willing to trample on our own principles. We're willing to kind of not stay close to Christ for fear of being seen as strange or an outsider or somehow different. We're not watching. And in the process of doing that, we find ourselves becoming emptier and emptier and emptier. And it's becoming more and more evident to me in many, many ways. This week, I met with a couple of couples who are preparing for matrimony. And I asked them a very simple question, of which I expected a simple yes response. I said to each of these couples, both of them in their 20s, said, "Do you pray for each other?" Both of them said, "No." "You don't pray for your fiancé?" "No, you don't pray for your future husband?" "Absolutely not." "Well, why not?" "Well, it hasn't come to my mind." I say, get it in your mind. You can tell I'm just a really fun person to do marriage prep with. They're worried about spending $40,000 on a wedding, but they're not worried about the spiritual welfare of their spouse or about talking about the future with children. But then we begin to think about ourselves, and I think about that myself every day. I have a list of people I pray for, my family and my friends and for the sick, for those who have no one else to pray for them. But think about ourselves every day in terms of our prayer life. Have we been watching the world enough to know who to pray for? Are we watching our children enough to know what they might need in the world they're facing at school? Are we watching our spouse enough to know what struggles they're facing at home or at work or with their friends to make very specific prayers to God? Dear Lord, help them deal with the struggles they face. Help us, Lord, with the financial difficulties with the stock market. Help us with the moral difficulties. Now help us when other people don't seem to be caring for each other. Make us generous, because that gospel tells us very clearly to watch. Why? Because every moment in our life is a moment of God inviting us to do something. Every moment, every waking moment of our life is an invitation. If God offers you the gift of generosity, then you need to be generous. If God offers you the gift to be patient, then you need to practice patience. If God gives you the opportunity to be served by someone, then you are served by them. Every moment is this watching of knowing that there's life in this world is not to be wasted. Life in this world is short, it is passing. And so every opportunity we need to grab upon of God's grace. And when we miss it, we miss a moment of joy. We miss a moment of God. But when we grab upon it, we receive far more than we can ever imagine. We receive far more than we even manage to give in the process of that. Because the Lord says, always watch and see where I am present. If you see someone lost or see someone looking for something, it was interesting in the Inquirer this week, there were a couple ladies who mentioned when they do that shopping on that Friday, they always are ready. If someone comes around and looking lost, they give them a direction. If they need this gift for someone, they're willing to give the gift that they got to them so they can buy it in their place. That is watching. That's practicing that gift of generosity. That's practicing that gift of Christian charity. And that's what's going to enable us to see Christ, not just in this life, but in the life to come. So God has given us all the gifts we need right now to serve him in this life, to prepare for the life to come. But are we watching? Are we really seeing spiritually what's going on? We know we see this material stuff. You watch the Dow Jones every day go up and down like a yo-yo. You watch that stuff. But have you looked at the state of your soul and your fears and your anxieties and thinking, what I need to do right now is pray for God's guidance and strength. You know, pray for the gift of prudential judgment and what I spend and how I work so that we can overcome whatever is coming our way. Because nothing can be overcome in a material sense, but everything can be overcome in the spiritual life. There is nothing that is faced in the spiritual life that cannot be overcome because it is God's grace working. And that can overflow into the material life. And when we trust in God's providence, he'll provide. Might not be exactly what we wanted, but will end up being exactly what we needed. This is what the Lord is offering us as we begin this new season of Advent. The opportunity to watch and see his grace active and present in the world. And the fact that we have a role in carrying that grace on. That we are instruments of his grace. We're not just the recipients of it, but the Lord is saying, go be generous. Go listen to that person. Go visit the sick. Be kind and give something of yourself for someone else. For a moment. Put yourself at their disposal for a moment. And in doing that, the kingdom of God becomes much clearer. And your life becomes both healthier and happier. Because you're no longer worried about caring for yourself. Because guess what? God's doing that all the time. He's saying, now how are you going to help care for others? The best way to start is that prayerful life. That disposition of prayer. And if we don't have the ability every day to think up a way to thank God for his grace and to ask him for his help, then we have formal prayers we can say. And you say, I don't have time to say a whole rosary. That's fine. 3 minutes to say 10 Hail Marys and Our Father and the Glory Be. 2.5 to 3 minutes to say those simple prayers and put yourself in God's presence and receive that gift. That'll help you watch. That'll help you see things that otherwise you wouldn't have seen. And you'll also help other people see things that they may be despairing of. You know, people I don't envy this time of year are those who have to work in the stores. I don't envy them one bit. They ought to get combat pay for what they got to put up with. But yet you go by and you look at them with kindness and you tell them to have a nice day and you're patient with them. They will say this, because I've had people actually tell me this, that they've heard. You know, you get the good people, that'll make your whole day, because you get 50 rotten people, and you begin to doubt our human nature. But that one good one will help you smile and help you know that God is still working in this world. And so the Lord tells us loud and clear, watch. The heavens have been rent. Christ has come into our midst. He gives us his word, which we can reflect on in our mind. He gives us his sacraments, especially the sacrament of his body and blood, which can feed our body and soul and continue to shape us into Christ's image and give us the grace and the concentration to look at Christ, to see him where no one else is, and to be an instrument of God's grace when no one else is. As we begin this season of Advent and as we begin all the craziness that goes on with getting ready for the secular idea of Christmas, let us pray that we watch and where we see the opportunity to be Christ, to be kind, to be generous, to be listening, to be charitable, simply to be human being. Let us not pass it up. Let us grab onto it. Let us hold on to it and let us know that when we do this, the Lord will say one day when we go to meet him, you are paying attention. And for that, you get to have the Father's undivided attention in heaven.